Well, there is something that God has set aside for this valley. This valley. And we'll learn today that we can either pick that up and run with it, or someone else will. My question to you is this: do you want to say yes to a breakthrough move of God in our valley? And then, do you know what that requires? There is a sacrifice, a choice, and a breakthrough. Let's turn to the book of Esther this morning. The book of Esther, chapter 4. The book of Esther, chapter 4. And it's a short chapter, so we're just going to read the whole thing. It's about 17 verses. The book of Esther, chapter 4, says this: when Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called Hathach, her servant, one of the king's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him, and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries to destroy the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for the destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go into the king and make supplication to him and plead before him for the people. So Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law: put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Amen. This is a well-known scripture, but we're going to dig into it a little bit, and the first thing we're going to look at is the sacrifice. Our passage opens with a man named Mordecai. He's the cousin of Queen Esther and the man that raised her. And I don't think he often gets enough credit, because this man is the one that prepared Esther for the position that she would one day be in. And a thought on that is, whether you're a biological, foster, or adopted parent, what you do matters. And I want to thank all of the people who are foster parents or adopted parents, because that is the heart of God. And if you haven't thought of that as a possibility, I want to encourage you to. We have a few people in our congregation that is their heart, and we want to encourage the entire congregation. Because watch this, you could be raising an Esther. You could be raising an Esther. But Mordecai's name means warrior. And I like that because I feel like he's a boots on the ground type guy. He has instilled in Esther an all-in mentality. And we need more people like that, amen? We need more Christians like that, that are just all in. If I perish, I perish. But we see that Mordecai had learned the plans of Haman. Now, Haman was a man that had planned to annihilate all of the Jewish people, the entire population of Jewish people that he could find. And he had even convinced the king of this, that all the Jews were against him and that they needed to be eradicated. He had risen to power and then been given more power under the king to see the removal of the Jewish people. He had the signet ring of the king, so he had the authority to do all of this. And it's interesting to me that this plan had taken place that the queen did not know about it yet, but Mordecai did. And what that tells me is that it's important to know what's going on in your community, what's going on in your nation, because watch this, how can we pray or make a difference if we don't know? If we don't know, and that doesn't mean you're supposed to spend every waking minute in front of the news, worried and doubtful, because that, I mean, you know, that's depressing. But we need to be informed about what's going on so we can combat it in the spiritual realm. And then once we learn about it, what are we doing about it? I just mentioned praying about it, and we need to do that. But we can do more than pray. It's the thought of if you see someone in need, say they don't have any food, and you just say, I'll pray for you, and they starve to death, you probably missed your opportunity. We need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We often want to wait and be entirely reactionary. Reactionary. We don't pray or act until something bad happens. Mordecai was listening and even acting, but his people were already in a place of needed prayer. They were already held captive and in exile. We often start praying during a terrorist attack on our nation or an earthquake in our own community, but do we forget that our community lives in bondage? They live in bondage, and church, we have the key to their freedom. We have the key. Don't be greedy with the key. Don't be lazy with the key, because people need to be set free. We need to pray that they will be set free. We need to be willing and hopeful that they have the chance to see us broken for them. Broken for them. Mordecai tears his clothes in anguish and in mourning, crying out for his people. And so I ask myself the same question that I will ask you. Do we love the valley enough to mourn and cry out for this people? For this people. This is where we live. Let's not see them go to hell on our watch. Let's do everything that we can to see them set free. Do I love this people enough to talk to them, to go out to them? We're not just talking about seeing a difference in crime or the pot shops or the lack of community. We're just talking about the spiritual state of a people and realizing that God wants to save them. He wants to save them. He is moving, he is willing, and he is willing to let us be a part of it. We get to be a part of seeing the valley saved and changed. Yeah, that should raise up some celebration. We get to be a part of that. Are you willing to cry out for a move of God to save this people? This people. Mordecai was going through the streets. And not everyone there knew what was happening. Not everyone there was Jewish. Not everyone knows that this is not how our community has to be, how it is right now. It's not how it has to be, that there is freedom. People are going to have to see that we are no longer going to be passive when it comes to this community. We're going to see it changed. When it comes to this country, we're going to see it changed. We will pray and we will act to see breakthrough, to see a move of God. But it takes sacrifice. What are you willing to sacrifice to see that take place? It takes willingness to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Are you willing to help the homeless, to reach the addict, to take in the orphan, to pray for this community? Are you willing to sacrifice some of your freedom and time so others can find true freedom before they run out of time? Are you willing to sacrifice those things? Mordecai went as far as, it says, the king's gate. This was as far as he could legally go without probably being killed. But church, are you willing to go as far as you can? Are you willing to go as far as you can to see this valley saved? Are you willing to make the news known? I want in my heart to be a person that is willing to cry out for this valley. In my prayers, weeping for this people. And that's not just a pastor thing. This is your valley. This is where you are called. If you are here at this moment, it doesn't matter if you are going to move in a month from now. For this month, for this moment, this is your place. And I know this is a lot, but church, this is actually what a Christian life looks like. This is the standard. It's not getting to feel good all the time, getting all your needs met, enjoying life until you get to enjoy it forever in heaven. Christianity is your best life here on earth because it's knowing Jesus. It's knowing Jesus, serving Jesus. And yeah, it often feels great, and we are thankful for those feelings, just being in the presence of God. And God promises to meet all of our needs. He takes away our fears, our doubts, our sins even. And he makes a way for us to be with him forever in heaven. But also, it's carrying out his mission on earth, where people don't always like you. They don't always like us, do they? Where sometimes you have enough, but honestly, you want more. Where faith is required to accomplish what God has for you, and that can be scary. But this is the Christian life. Watch this. We often love the fact that we are raised with Christ, but we push over the fact that we are crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives within me. There is sacrifice involved. Verse 3 says, in every province where the news arrived to kill the Jews, there was fasting, there was weeping, there was wailing. People were serious about breakthrough. And thankfully here, we already know God wants to move. We're not just praying for him to come and do it. We're praying for him to come do it now. Because it's going to happen. We want to be a part of it. He wants to see our valley changed and turn towards Jesus. Do you know the biggest changes happen to a place when they encounter Jesus? The biggest changes happen in your life when you encounter Jesus. Crime slows down. Economies speed up. People become happier because they have encountered Jesus. And you should never be the same when you've encountered Jesus. So every time we come to meet, every time you are in your private devotion every day, you should encounter Jesus, and that will change your life. In verse 4, Esther, after finding out what Mordecai was doing, she sent a servant to clothe her cousin with, take away the sackcloth and ashes away from him. Now, sackcloth and ashes are very recognizable. Let me tell you why. It's usually a black, coarse cloth made of goat's hair, and then you'd be covered in ashes. So if you can imagine, that's pretty recognizable. This probably itchy outfit that you're just, in a sense, tormenting yourself. And you've got ashes all over you. And it doesn't say why Esther did this to try to clean up her cousin. But today I will say we often try to make people look more dignified and right in our own eyes when on all accounts we should be broken for our people. We should look broken to a certain degree. Broken for a people. Because watch this, people respond to brokenness. People respond to brokenness. And I'm not saying Esther was ashamed of the appearance of her cousin, but I'm saying sometimes we can be. There is a desperation in Mordecai that he's not willing to let go of. He refuses to be comforted. We cannot be ashamed of desperation. And that must be our hearts as well. We need to refuse to be comforted when it comes to seeing our valley saved. They are in desperate need. Someone has to let the enemy know this is not acceptable. It's not acceptable anymore that we will stand in the gap to let our people know change is coming. We serve a God who changes things. And we're not going to stop or be comforted until we see it happen. What are we willing to sacrifice? Our time, the way we look to people. Mordecai didn't care because he was desperate. Church, are you desperate for a move of God that will change our valley and change your life? Are you desperate? And Mordecai was already not liked by Haman. You see that in chapter 3, because he would not bow to anyone except God and the king. So we know Mordecai was already in the thick of it. In fact, because Mordecai wanted to honor God, it was the catalyst that the enemy used for Haman to want to kill all the Jews. When we live right before the Lord, it's going to get some people upset. Now, we have to love and be gracious and be compassionate, but church, we can't bend or break our beliefs because of what someone else feels or wants. If God has said it, that is final. That's final in our lives as Christians. Church, you are a child of the Almighty God and the King of the universe. You don't bow to anyone else's desires that go against God. That is who you are. And this is what Haman wanted. He wanted honor. He wanted power. He wanted respect. And as Christians, we give those firstly to God. And they are not things that we chase after. Pride has no place in the kingdom of God. It takes true strength to be humble. To be humble. So Mordecai then fills in Esther's servant on all these things that are happening. And he sends her a copy of the decree and tells her about the payment that had been made to kill all the Jewish people. And church, watch this. The enemy has decreed things against you, against your life, against your family. But Jesus stands in the gap and cancels out those things. What has been decreed against you and schemed by the devil has now been paid by the blood of Jesus. Where your time was set for death, there is a new decree for life. And you are to stand and fight and believe that you stand on life. Fight for your life. Fight for your family. Fight for your people and this valley, because breakthrough is coming. In Mordecai's life, it was Mordecai's idea for Esther to go to the king and plead, because he didn't just raise a daughter to be obedient, he raised a daughter to be sacrificial. And I want to encourage you parents, there is a difference. We need to raise more Christians that are willing to sacrifice for the calling of God. When I pray for my children at night, almost every night, I always try to remember this, to give them to the Lord. To give them to the Lord. And watch this. I know in my flesh that when they grow up, I would like for them to live close to me. I love them. I like spending time with them. You can probably relate if you're a parent. But in my spirit, I'm praying that they are world changers. And if you are a world changer, you might often be called to go to the world. And that's a sacrifice that we need to be willing to make. If I perish, I perish. As we disciple people, let them know we will sacrifice freely and joyfully because it's to Jesus. Because whether you're willing to sacrifice or not, the choice to sacrifice is coming your way. That's number two. The choice, the sacrifice, the choice. We see in verses 10 and 11 that Esther lets Mordecai know all the things that could go wrong. You ever meet those people? Well, it's also not bad to know the possibilities, because we don't want to jump into anything blind if we don't have to. So we need to contemplate all of our choices. When you contemplate a life for and with God, you need to contemplate that choice as well. Look at this, chapter 28 in the book of Luke. Luke 28 through 33 says this, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider what he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise," get this, "whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." That's our choice. And it doesn't mean you have to sell everything and move to the desert. Unless you're struggling with greed and pride, then maybe that's a good choice. But it means that we follow Jesus, that we're desperate for Jesus and his presence. It means that we are going to be like Jesus. A Christ follower. Christian means Christ follower, not just believing that he exists, but it's following his way of life, surrendering, submitting our lives to his leading, to his ruling. Jesus will use rich people. He'll use poor people, tall people, short people, dark people, light people. He's just looking for willing people. That means he will use everyone in this room. And he wants to. He will use you. You have a calling on your life to be used by God. Esther didn't know what would happen. The king could have been displeased with her. She had no idea what was going to happen. Would he kill her if she shows up? All she knew that was that it could cost her her life. It could cost her her life. But Mordecai reminds her of this. In verse 13, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. She could have tried to take it easy and not worry, depending on her diplomatic immunity. But church, the enemy doesn't care who you are, where you are, what you have, don't have, who you think you are. He's just coming after you. But John 10:10 says this, The thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In church, we often want to separate those two things. But the reality of it is that in the abundant life, the thief is still coming to try. You are not meant to live in defeat. Even in the occasion of a hard choice or situation, the Lord declares life and more abundantly. And that is often inside of hard situations that require hard choices, but it is decreed for you and promised life and more abundantly. So watch this in verse 14, what many people think is the most important verse in this chapter, maybe the book. It says this, "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" This is God's providence, church. As in the thing that God has declared will happen. He's declared it to happen, so it will happen. But watch this, it doesn't have to happen with you if you don't choose it. We believe God wants to have a move in our valley. He wants to move in your life, but you're going to have to go after that. You've got to stand up and fight. I think a move of God can happen. And I think it will happen, but unless we make the choice, watch this, God will either wait or use someone else. I'm reminded of the great Azusa Street Revival. I did a study on that a while ago, and it birthed all kinds of charismatic movements around the world, so many different things. But what many people don't know is that there was a revival that broke out in another church in that city before. And that church decided they didn't want it. And so it sparked up at Azusa Street afterwards. I don't want to be a church that says no. I don't want to be a people that says no when God wants to move. He wants to do something. And so we can partner with him to see a move of God. But we have to say yes. And I want to key in the latter part of verse 14 where it says, "Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Church, you are here today in this church, in this city, in this valley for such a time as this. You are meant to be here, to help, to see a move of God. Watch this. God picked you. God picked you. Will you say yes to the sacrifice and the choice to see a breakthrough? And in verse 15, breakthrough begins to happen. There's sacrifice, there's a choice, and there is breakthrough. It begins with a reply from Esther. Something rises up in Esther, the desire not just to save her own life, but to save her people. When we get close to Jesus, we'll realize that he doesn't just want to save us as individuals. We can get caught in that trap of selfish Christianity. When the closer you get to Jesus, you'll realize his heart is for every person around you. Every person that you can come in contact with, he wants to save them, and he wants you to have that heart to save the lost. to be desperate for it. He gave his life for the lost. Will you give yours? Something rises up in Esther. The knowledge that maybe I am here for such a time as this. I want that to register in your minds and in your hearts. I am here for such a time as this, and I'm going to make the most of my time. I'm going to make the most of it. She says, go, gather the people, because when you get on fire with purpose, it's going to catch to people around you. When you get on fire for Jesus, it's going to catch to people around you. When you realize that right now is your time, right now is your moment, and you don't want to be passed by. You want other people to start getting involved because it is their moment too. It is our moment as a church, as the church in the valley, to see something take place, something to happen. It's not just Esther making a choice. It's a movement of people throughout her city that decides we want a breakthrough in Jesus. They begin to fast. And I believe it's implied that they prayed in their fast, even though that doesn't say it, but praying is a part of fasting. They declared a 3-day fast to save people, to change a city, and to affect a nation. And you know what? That's what happened. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 12 says this. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. There's something spiritual that takes place when we fast. In church, we're calling you today, if you will, to join us in a fast. You can fast as long as you want, but I'm going to ask you to do at least 3 days if you are medically able. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not asking you just to fast Facebook or social media. You can do that. That is good. But I'm asking you to do the type of fast that they were doing here. Because fasting is sacrifice. It's telling your body that it is under self-control. It is under Jesus. And when you begin to fast, things begin to break. We have some people this morning that need breakthrough. We have families that need breakthrough, a valley that needs breakthrough. So I'm asking us, will we fast for the next 3 days? Will we do what it takes to see something happen and something change in our valley, in our church, to start praying for our community that lives in bondage? Start going out and being the hands and feet of Jesus, to be desperate for a move of God, to refuse to be comforted by something like food or something that pleases us, because our heart breaks for the people of God and the people that should know God. Will you fast for these people, for our community, for your church, for your family, for your life? If you are willing and can medically do so, I want to start a fast for the next 3 days. A fast for breakthrough. That's where you sacrifice your body and say no to the things that are going to please you. And you replace it with prayer and presence. Prayer and presence. And you really find out that Jesus is the bread of life. And he has declared life, and more abundantly into that situation that you need to see breakthrough. It's going to come because you are getting desperate, and God responds to the desperate. He responds to the needy. We know God wants to move. He wants to work, and he wants to work through us. Let's join together as one body to declare to the enemy that this is our time, and we're taking hold of it for such a time as this. As the worship team comes, I'm going to ask us to stand, if you're able to, across this place. And if you need a breakthrough in your family, your marriage, your children, your life at any point, I'm going to ask you to come and pray. But not only to pray, I'm going to ask you to come and dedicate fasting for breakthrough. Or if you this morning are willing to make a sacrifice and you want to see a breakthrough in our community, you're going to make that choice and you're willing to fast, I'm going to ask you to come and make that decision right now. I want to see this valley changed. This is my valley. This is my home, and I want to see it different. Or if you have it on your heart to see this nation changed, we need a lot of change. You want to pray for our local politicians, pray for our national politicians, pray for all the things going on. We need a change in our country. Esther asked them to pray and fast, and it changed her city and her nation, and it changed her life. Your life, your city, and your nation. There is breakthrough. I'll say this, if you have a loved one that is not saved, or a loved one that needs to just come back to Jesus or come on fire, breakthrough happens. Are you willing the next 3 days to sacrifice your time, sacrifice food even, sacrifice whatever it takes to see a breakthrough in that person's life? We are praying for breakthrough because God wants it. And as the music starts to play, let's remember that we are excited about what God is going to do. And so I'm going to just ask you to lift your hands all across this place as we begin to go into worship. Begin to commit the next 3 days and this year to what God wants to do. That you want to see a breakthrough happen. This is your time, your valley, and the enemy has no hold on it any longer. Let's break through this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.